Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Let's read from verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold now, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees. But the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new jar and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. He ran out to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness any longer." So the waters have been purified to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. We just come before you and we want to hear your voice this morning. We want to meet with you. And we're just grateful for another day, God. And we want to just be near you today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to share a little bit from my own quiet time reading through 2 Kings, as I've been reading through 1 and 2 Kings. So in today's story, the men that have been following Elisha, they say to Elisha, "This land is good, but the water is bad. So we can't drink it. There's death in the water." And so what Elisha says is, "Bring me a new jar and put some salt in it," and then he throws salt into the water. So for me, when I was reading it, my questions, you know, I write down questions when I'm reading, and I go, why salt? You know, was there anything special to the salt? Why couldn't he just pray to the water, or like, you know, just pray to God and say, "Water, be healed," or "God, please heal this water"? But for whatever reason, for this case, he says, "Bring some salt," and then he gets some salt and then throws the salt into the water, and then he says, "The water is healed." If you go on to chapter 4, we come to the story in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, of a certain woman who comes to Elisha and says, "My servant is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors have come to take my two children to his slaves." And Elisha asks her, "What shall I do for you?" And she says, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." And then what he says is, go to your neighbors, basically, and borrow as many jars as you can, right? What does he say? He says, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few." And then he says, "Go into your house, close the doors, and then start pouring the oil into the jars." And then what happens with the oil, even though she had a small jar, that small jar of oil ends up filling all the different big vessels that she had borrowed from the neighbors. And then Elisha says, "Go and sell these vessels, you know, go and sell this oil and make money and pay off your debt, and then you'll be okay." All right, so again, very interesting, because this one sounds quite similar to Elijah's story, right? Elisha's spiritual father, Elijah, when he went to a neighboring city and he found a woman with a small jar of oil and a small thing of flour, and he says, "Don't worry, make me some bread first, and then make some for you and your boy, and then the oil and the flour never run out," right? So you would kind of expect Elisha to do the same thing. "Don't worry about it, your oil will never run out." But instead, he says, "No, go and borrow vessels and pour oil and sell it." And then the next story that comes in chapter 4 is Elisha ends up going to another woman's or another family's house to stay, and they're very kind to him. So Elisha asks them, what can I do for you? They say nothing, but they know Elisha knows that they don't have children, so he prays for them to have children, and they have a boy, but the boy ends up dying, and Elisha goes back and heals the boy, or raises the boy from death to life. But this time, he does the same thing that Elijah did, which is he lied on the boy, head, toes, arms, everything, a few times, and then the boy comes to life. And then later on in chapter 4, verse 38, Elisha returns, and there's a company of prophets with him, and they're going to make some stew. So he says, put on a pot and make some stew. And so they go and make some stew, and they get some wild flowers, wild plants from around them, and they put into the stew. And then they taste it, and they say, there is death in the stew. We cannot eat this. It must have been a poisonous plant or something. And what does Elisha say? He says, get some flour. I'm going to put some flour in it, and then the stew is cleansed, and you can eat it. Everybody can eat it. And what does this teach us? I think for me, as I read this, and I read how Elisha, in every situation, he does something different. He doesn't get salt for the stew. He gets flour for the stew. And he could have just prayed for the stew to be okay, but instead, he has to get the flour and throw it into the pot. With the oil, he could have done the same thing that Elijah had done, but instead, he says, go borrow vessels and then sell it to your neighbors. What I'm learning from this is that we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in different situations. I think sometimes the temptation is, for me in ministry, is to just say, I did this kind of thing last time. Last time we had service and I said this or I did this or I made a call for this thing and it was very good, very effective. I chose this song and then I sang this chorus, connected it to that song, and then people were really blessed and the Spirit of God moved. And we kind of want to make a formula of things that worked in the past, or we look at what other people have done, guys like Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sam, or whoever else. And then we say, this is how they do it, so I'm just going to follow them. I remember talking to my pastor friends in the church. So we have Pastor Ricky, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Hyunsu. We call ourselves the Four Horsemen. It's quite funny. I don't know why we do that. But we call ourselves the Four Horsemen, so we had our horsemen meeting and we're chatting. And I was telling them, this is what I told them, that I really feel like I'm not very good at leading ministry time. After service, and you have a time of prayer where people, you have a response time. And it was kind of just after our youth retreat when we had Pastor Sam over as a guest speaker at our youth retreat. And Pastor Sam, you guys know, he's amazing at ministry time. Mon and I were reflecting after the retreat and saying, man, PSAM is really good at leading ministry. And something that he does is he will just stay in a topic and he won't fret. He won't worry too much about what is happening on the outside, and he'll just keep at it and he'll keep going deeper and he'll keep asking people to pray and open up their hearts and be touched, and he stays in that place. And we were saying, man, he's really good at that. So after that, I come back to my friends and I say, I just don't know if I can do it. I feel like I'm not very good at leading ministry time. And I was sharing my frustrations with them, and some of the things that they said to me was, you're not P. Sam. You can't do it exactly the same way that P. Sam is going to do it. And I think it was Ricky, who suggested to me, you should just grab a guitar, and start playing something and then just kind of lead into ministry like that. Because he said, when you do that, there's so much like anointing. And I thought, maybe that's one way I can do things. But I have to do things differently. I can't just follow a formula. But even in that, even in the leading of the ministry time, what I am getting from my reading here is, man, I need to just stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I need to hear the voice of God in every situation and say, God, what is it that you're doing this time? And how is it that you want to bless people this time? How is it that you want to work and move in this time? Not just follow a formula or do something that worked in the past. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says to his people, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I, you know, whenever we talk about hearing God's voice, there's always people that say, "I just can't hear God's voice. You know, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I don't know what that sounds like. How do you know that it's God and not you and not something else?" And you know what? To be honest, I really don't feel that prophetic. I don't want to make a word curse or whatever. I know there's some Cascade people that'll be like, "Don't believe it." And I don't want to believe it, but I really feel like I have a hard time hearing God's voice and discerning. And I see other people around me that are much more prophetic, and I go, "Man, I wish I could be like that." But I have to also try and break that lie and say, you know what? No, but God, when we talk about hearing God's voice, we're not necessarily talking about our ability to hear God's voice, or we're talking about God's ability to communicate to his children. Right? He's the greatest communicator, and he knows how to speak to his people in a way that they can understand, they can hear, they can comprehend. But we do have to grow in it. So I think we need to hear God's voice in every situation, even for work. I imagine, you know, you're in a situation and maybe you've been in there before and you've done that before, but you can turn to the Lord and say, "God, what is it that you're saying to me this time? How can I be a blessing to my coworkers? How can I be a blessing to, you know, the people that I'm working for in this time, in this situation? What can I do? What are you saying for this specific situation? You know, should I throw salt or flour, or should I lie on them, or should we have them borrow jars, or what is it that you're doing this time?" Even with Jesus, when he's healing people, he doesn't always just do the same thing. Many times he just rebukes the sickness, rebukes the spirit, but sometimes he will put mud on someone's eyes and say, "Go wash it." Sometimes it takes people touching his robe. Sometimes he'll just send them on his way without saying anything, and then that's when the healing comes. And he did different things every time he felt the Father leading. And we've heard stories of Pastor Sam doing healing ministry and asking people to do weird things, and they get healed. And Pastor Ricky, I've seen him ask people to do weird things at the well ministry, and I go, "Why?" But that's, he feels led by the Holy Spirit to do that, you know? And it's a different thing every time. So I just think it's very important, as people of God, that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that we hear the voice of God in different situations. And I'm preaching to myself too, as I do ministry, that I don't just follow a formula, but that I open myself up to the Holy Spirit and say, "God, what is it that you're doing this time, and how can I follow you? How can I partner with you?" And so how do we hear the voice of God? That's intimacy. You know, whenever we talk about hearing the voice of God and we say, "God, I'm so confused. I don't know how to hear your voice. And there's so many different voices in my head and distractions going on." And we always go back to, how do you hear the voice of God? How do you discern? It's intimacy, right? The closer you are to someone, the more you're able to discern that this is his voice. And so the closer I can get with the Lord, I think I'll be able to hear God's voice more clearly. But how do we get to a place of intimacy? I think it's just time. I think that's the hard part. You know, I think hearing God's voice maybe isn't so much the hard part, but really it's carving out time to be able to lay down everything that is on your heart and say, "God, I just want to sit before you, and I want to be close to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to grow intimate with you." And I think from that place, the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, will just flow out of that. But really, we need to be able to set aside time. You know, to be intimate with someone, you have to spend a lot of time with that person, right? I can, you know, even though we're married, if we're not spending time communicating with one another and having conversations with one another and just, you know, spending quality time, we can still feel distant from each other, even though we're living together. You know, we got to have quality time And lots of that for us to really feel intimate, to really feel close to one another, to really feel connected to one another. And so, I think there's no special secret to hearing God's voice, but there's no shortcut. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no shortcut to hearing God's voice. We do have to take some time out, carve out some time. That's EMP is very good. And just your own quiet time. You know, I think it's very difficult for people to be intimate with God without having a very good quiet time life on their own. I mean, how can you be intimate with someone without spending that quality time? So this morning, I encourage you, we're going to worship. We have some sound system problems, as you can see. It looks so dark, it's kind of weird. But Andrew is going to lead us on a guitar, and we're going to mic the guitar and mic his voice, and we'll just worship. And then after that, as we play some music, I really just encourage you just to spend some time with God and confess to Him, maybe, God, I really feel like I haven't really stayed sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit or dependent upon the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've been just kind of doing things based on my experience, doing things based on how other people do it. But I want to stay sensitive to how you're leading me today, how you're guiding me today. So let's just do that today together.
Sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
Let's just go before God in prayer. Let's go straight to our Tuesday prayer focus for today. We're just going to do that for Tuesday prayer focus, and I want us to just spend time with God. We're ending a lot earlier, so normally if you would stay until about 8, then I encourage you, instead of going early, just to spend time with God. Use this extra time just to spend time with God on your own. Just say, God, I want to really hear your voice. I want to be intimate with you. So let's do our Tuesday prayer focus, and then I'll let us just spend time with God on our own today. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government and the wealth gap here. This Sunday, we're having Poverty Sunday. And Pastor Sam will be preaching a message. One of our brothers, Jeffrey, will be sharing a testimony of being involved in outreach. And let's pray that our church would really learn and grow from this time. So let's pray for our city, that God will do and move in this city regarding the wealth gap. Let's pray for different ministries that we're supporting here in Hong Kong. Let's pray together. Pray for the staff. Please pray for Pastor Sam and his family, the rest of the staff. I think most everyone is back now, so we can just pray that the staff would be united, that we would really serve God with our everything, that we would love one another, work together very well, and pray that the staff would be able to hear the voice of God. They will stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not just follow a formula. So let's pray for the staff together. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, the media team. Pray for a heart of worship, heart of excellence, and attention to detail. Let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for our arts ministry. Let's pray for creativity. Pray for the spread ministry, our triannual newspaper, and also as they help out with the website and different things going on in the church. Let's pray that our arts team will be just blessed and anointed by God. Let's pray. Pray for our Tuesday house churches. Let's pray for each leader in each gathering tonight, that there will be so much love and power and joy, and the presence of God will be strong in these meetings. Let's pray for our house churches. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that you show us in your word that we're not meant to follow a formula, God, but you do different things in different situations, God, and help us to stay sensitive to you, to your voice. Help us to hear your voice, God. Help us to spend quality time with you, God, to carve out time to get into your presence and to pray and to hear your voice, God. So, Lord, I pray as we do that this morning that your grace would be upon this place, your presence will be upon this place, God, that many people will be able to grow closer to you this morning. We thank you, God. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So we'll just play some music, and I encourage you just to spend time with God before you go off to work this morning.